welcome to the concluding part of my conversation with Oku. Things get more interesting here, and I also get to hear some insights on cross-cultural unions. Listen and enjoy.
Now, the second thing that happened. Sol's birthday is in July. I remembered just before her birthday, she had rekindled an old relationship. Remember I said she's only been in one ever relationship? And I said one, but there was another one that was sort of like high school crush, but nothing really happened. But they'd got back in contact. Obviously now she's living on her own, so she has a bit more freedom. And they went out on a date. Again, I wasn't comfortable, but I was happy that at least the friendship was still there. And I remembered, because it was coming up to her birthday, I had gone all out. I had arranged such a surprise birthday for her. I contacted her friends from uni, our mutual friends that she hasn't seen, her female friends that I barely knew. But it was meant to be a surprise birthday party. So the whole idea was everyone comes to the house. I try to get her out of the house, and everyone goes in, decorate, come in, and surprise. Yeah. But the day before, she went out on a date. And she came back with this guy. And I think this is perhaps the lowest point of the whole thing, because she came back with this guy, and I remember feeling incredibly jealous, because this is the first time I've ever seen her with a guy, like, in my face. And the guy spent the night. And I remembered, because she and I have always been friends, a lot of guys that she's liked have always felt perhaps threatened by me, because it's like, how are you two just friends? How has nothing ever happened? And this particular guy, I remember in the morning, at night, while I was in the living room, he made this thing of walking out into the living room in his boxers to almost give me a look like it was really strange. And in the morning, you know, he made a thing of looking at me and stroking her hair. And I remember feeling so, like, depressed is a dramatic word, but I just remember feeling very, like, that was the first time I ever felt so jealous. I felt I was going to be sick. I barely slept that night. But anyway, and also I had this surprise thing organized, and I remember just feeling that I couldn't even be bothered to do it anymore.
Cancel it.
Yeah, I want to cancel it. People have driven from Bournemouth, from Milton Keynes, and I just remember thinking, guys, just go home. Like, this is not going to happen now. And I remember trying to get Sol to, because I knew everyone was already gathering outside, and everyone was trying to find out when she's leaving. I just remember thinking, you know, I can't even now say to her, do you want to go out? Because she's got her date there. And I can't tell this guy, can you take her out? Because then he would know that the girl that he's meant to be dating, her housemate, who he's already threatened by, has his things set up for her. Which, anyway, lo and behold, eventually she did reluctantly. Oh, no, the guy left. The guy did eventually leave. And then she reluctantly, I got her to go, which go Nando's, because I know she loves going Nando's. And I remember not even being able to eat, because I still felt like sick at the thought of what could have happened. And I didn't want to have the typical Oku friend would have been like, hey, oh, how was it? You know, how's, you know, how did the date go? But I didn't want to get any detail. So it was one of those meals where I'm trying not to have that conversation. I'm trying to keep the conversation as lighthearted as possible, which wasn't natural, because naturally as a friend I'd have been like, oh, how did that go, you know, etc. Anyway, when we got back home, it's pulled up. The surprise went amazing. Like, the turnout was a lot more than I thought, because the word had spread. They had decorated the house beautifully. So, wow, she was so shocked, incredibly shocked by the people, the efforts, etc. And she actually cried as a result, because it was, as she said, no one has ever done that for her. I know the funny thing is, because one of our mutual friends is like a mother figure to the group, I had sort of confided in her about the fact that she had a date before and how I was really upset about it. And she took Soph out of the house, and I knew they were speaking for a while. And I think she was talking about it. And it got to the point where I had begun to make plans to move back to Nigeria, because I just couldn't. I felt like the rejection was too hard. Mm. You know, I had now fully fallen for this girl. You know, the benchmarking thing that I said before had now become a thing where I just couldn't get in a relationship because no one was like Soph. So I felt like I wouldn't be able to move on properly until I just left the country, out of sight, out of mind. You know, as a matter of fact, I remembered a girl that I was dating. This is going back now a few more, rewind a few years. And I think this is also one of the things that made me realize that perhaps I have strong feelings for this girl. There was a girl that I was dating at the time, who at the time I thought I was in love with. She had a major problem with the fact that Soph is a girl who comes to my house, who can spend the night at my house, and nothing happens. And Soph is a beautiful girl. She gave me an ultimatum, the girl I was dating. She gave me an ultimatum. She's like, look, we'll only work if you stop talking to Soph. And again, this is when Soph and I were still friends. I remember thinking, I love this girl. As in the girl I was dating at the time. Soph is my friend. Anyway, it was a tough choice, but yes, the relationship ended. I was very depressed with the relationship ending. But I just couldn't see Soph not being in my life. And I just, anyway. So now, coming back to where I was actually already thinking of moving back to Nigeria, because I felt like I wouldn't be able to move on properly if I remained in the same country. If in 10 years, 20 years, I knew she was married, I still imagine myself thinking, what could have been? Whereas if I'm not in a country, I can start a whole new life and just forget that she even existed. And yeah, so that was the mindset that I was in. My birthday is in August. She tried to do something similar, a surprise birthday party, but you don't do a surprise birthday party for someone who did a surprise birthday party to you. Yeah, it wasn't really a surprise, because it was just like, that's just lame. But anyway, but yeah, you know, it was, yeah, and also because of where we live, the road is a very quiet road. We've got Lloyd's Park just around the corner. So she and I used to go for a walk at night, just talking. And I think we realized that we had never, in the 10 years up to this point, we had never held hands. That's how much of a platonic friend we were. We had never held hands. We had never even hugged. Wow. We'd definitely never kissed. Wow. Like, she could have just been a guy to me. And because we were walking one day at night, a fox ran past, and in her fear, she jumped at me, and that was the first time we ever hugged, which was really and we made the joke of the fact that, wow, this is the first time we've actually ever hugged. And in October, and again, I still remember all of this very vividly. In October, we're watching a movie. Typically, when we have a movie on, I sit on one couch, you sit on the other couch, or we lay on separate couches. It was the first time where she said, oh, she's a bit cold, can she lay next to me? And I remember thinking, oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's the first. Yeah, she lay next to me, watched a movie. And I remembered when the movie finished, she fell asleep in my arms. First time it ever happened. And when I woke her up, we just put in another movie, and then we kissed, and it was the first time, like, you know, we kissed, and it wasn't awkward, it wasn't forced, it just seemed to happen on its own. And yeah, and this is the thing, I think, because going back to everything, that's the reason I gave you the long story, is because everything actually panned out. Because I'd always, one of the things I didn't actually mention before was, while we're still just friends, when I had no intentions, no motive, she was just a friend to me, I once said to myself, if I'm ever to get married, because I've always been someone who never really believed in marriage, if I'm ever to get married, it will be to you. But this, I said as a friend. It could have been, it's like saying, as a straight man, if I'm ever to be gay, is to another girl. Because it's just not, it's a far-fetched idea. And that's like what I said to her at the time. If I'm ever to get married, it'll be to you. So, okay, now coming back now when we've actually kissed and it's felt natural. She reminded me of that conversation I had. She's like, you know what? We've kissed. It actually didn't feel awkward at all. You know, we have the foundation of everything. You know, we're friends. We genuinely do care about each other. You know, now we've crossed that threshold. What were my thoughts about marriage? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. The advantage was because my sister got married the same year in May, and I saw how big and lavish the wedding was, I was dead set against that. Because I feel like for me, the wedding is a day. Marriage is really what's important. You know, people spend thousands and thousands and thousands on one big day, and then after that day, their marriage is already shaky.
Yeah.
So I said, look, if we're, I'm not big on big, lavish, I'm not a flashy sort of guy. If we're to get married, I'm happy to just do it in a small church, invite a few people, no big deal. And that's actually how I met our mutual friend, Andrew.
Yeah.
Because it was us trying to organize things. Andrew volunteered to be a keyboardist at the wedding. Like it was a small wedding, and yeah, 8 years now, still going very strong. 2 kids. I got Mila on my lap.
Say hi.
Okay. Still going very strong, and in the time that we've been together, we have friends who have been married and divorced, whereas we're still going very strong, and that's because of the foundation that we had. We are still friends. Behind it all, the friendship is still there. That foundation is still there. We still bicker. We still bicker and fight, as we used to do as friends. But I think the foundation that we've built is what's kept us very solid. I still tell the same silly jokes I used to tell. She still gets on my nerves like she used to. we have 2 kids. The culture thing was something that's... Honestly, I even forget that she's from Pakistan originally. She was actually born in Pakistan as well. Because it's not... A lot of times people think about cultures, but the reality is we're all so, so very similar. If you actually really think about the culture, you know, the main thing is, you know, respect your elders. You know, I mean, if you think of any main culture, any main thing from culture is to respect your elders. You don't call your parents by their first name. You know, little things like that. You don't talk back to your parents. These are things that they have the same culture. We've been to a few Indian weddings where people have stared at us. We've been to enough weddings where we went to one that actually stands out. We went to a wedding in Bournemouth, and the table that we sat, no one spoke, but everyone just kept staring at us. Like, and then a lady actually came up and said, I'm really sorry, I know we're all staring, but we just want to know how. How? Well, I mean, everyone's been, it's been mostly positive. Like, most people are more curious. The lady, the reason why she was curious is because her best friend's daughter is dating a Nigerian, just like me. So she wanted to know how we did it, how we're coping, how we're surviving. Is it such a big deal? Because her best friend is against their relationship. So she wants to be able to say to her, look, there's a couple here. He's Nigerian, she's Pakistani. They're working fine. So yeah, it's been... I haven't had any negative comments. She has, unfortunately, had people say things to her. But I think it mostly comes down to ignorance. I think the worst that she's had... was her hairdresser, who she's been going to for years. When we were having a casual conversation, and she said, oh, my husband, she was referring to her husband, i.e. me, and the hairdresser just asked, oh, what part of Pakistan is he from? And she's like, oh, no, he's Nigerian. And the hairdresser in a very stunned way, said, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" So that was like the worst that she's had. And obviously she hasn't been back to that hairdresser again. But she was like, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself? What about your parents? Didn't you think about your parents?" But besides that, most people don't. And also, to be fair, I don't think she looks Pakistani. She's someone, if she told you she was mixed race, you'd think she's mixed race. So, but yeah, that's my story. I thought I'll share it with you all. And I really do hope, for me, the reason why I'm really keen on sharing this is because I really hope it inspires people as well. The reason I wanted to inspire people is, guys, girls, if there's a friend who you have feelings for, and you've been rejected, I'm not saying it's going to happen for every single person. Some things are worth fighting for, and it is worth it. It is genuinely worth it. If you build your relationship on sex, which, again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, the foundation of sex is not a strong enough foundation. Friendship is. Friendship is something I'll say is worth fighting for. And on another note as well, if you're seeing someone from different culture, different background, and you're worried how people are going to take it, it's not about them, it's about you. If you're happy, people who care about you will be happy sooner or later. So that's my piece of advice, and I'm happy to have shared. Thank you.
Wow. That's long, sorry. I just spoke for such a long time. Thank you for listening to this week's episodes. Next week, I'm speaking to Jitish and Surya as they share their story and also their binary messages of ones and zeros, which kickstarted their love affair.
Well, after I said yes to her and she accepted me, I sent her a text because I don't remember why. I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't go and meet her. But I texted her a long binary code. And I asked her to decode it. So she decoded that, and it was like, proper, I love you. And that was the first time I proposed to her.
That's next week with Surya and Jitish. Don't forget to tell your friends about The Significant Order, and I'd like to hear your feedback and comments. Hit the subscribe button, and bye-bye.